There are only 12 guaranteed opportunities every year, and we're going to cherish every single one of them on The Beat. That is a guarantee of the Austin and Berm show. It is Freaky Friday, folks. We are back for game number two. Maybe doesn't have quite the same stakes. Maybe doesn't have quite the same buildup. Might not have anywhere near the same level of competitiveness on both sides of the field. But you know what? It's going to be a beautiful Saturday in Columbus, Ohio, and it is an awesome Freaky Friday on The Beat. I'm Austin Ward. That's Jeremy Birmingham, Ohio State, Grambling State, 3:30, Saturday in the Horseshoe. We get to be back, Berm. What could be better than that?
I can't wait. It's certainly not a game that we had circled as like one where you're like, yes, can't wait for that. But as you mentioned, there's only 12 of these a year. And at Ohio Stadium this year, there's only 7 of them. So we better take full advantage of it and enjoy it. Should be another beautiful afternoon. The summer has decided to take an early exit. I think it's supposed to be like 70 at kickoff. It'll be in the low 60s by the time the game ends. It'll be a beautiful night in Columbus, and I hope everyone's going to be there with bells on, man, ready to rock and roll. 3:30 start. That means you've got a couple extra hours to imbibe before the game to get yourself into the festive spirit of football. And it should be a day that allows for a lot of young players that Ohio State is willing to see what they're wanting to see, what they're able to do against live competition, can get done. So, we've talked about it all week. There's been a lot of conversation from Ryan Day about wanting to make sure that they get a chance to evaluate kids and see who's actually going to do what in a real competition. So, this game should provide that opportunity, provided Ohio State handles its business in the first quarter. And I think that's why it's important for this episode of BPs for people to understand that we are not on the clock for this episode. Like, if you're somebody at home keeping score, please understand every bold prediction made in this episode, minus one, is for a true freshman playing in his second game ever at Ohio State. So,
if I wonder what the exception might be.
Well, you know, I think everyone knows where that's going to go. But I do want to say this. If for some reason Ohio State messes around and all these freshmen don't play, then this entire episode is somewhat invalidated, but I think that's going to take quite a bit of problems for that to occur.
Yeah, I think that's part of where the excitement for this game lies for me, Berm, is like, yes, if we get the best case scenario for Ohio State and get to see all these freshmen, that's like, it feels like that season opener vibe all over again, where we're going to get to capitalize, maybe evaluate, analyze some of all the people that we've talked about, like who could be the next wave. What would the role look like for some of these freshmen or second year guys behind the projected starters? Because like basically everyone that we anticipated to play did play extensively and heavily in the win against Texas. And so that part wasn't a surprise. And then once you move past that, okay, here's the next wave of opportunity. And it's partly for that reason, as you pointed out last week, we started putting the score predictions up front on bold predictions. And I had forgot about that, but I don't want to do that this time. And I kind of feel like that's why it might look a little bit disjointed and it might look like a week one again for Ohio State, especially if they're rotating in as many people as Ryan Day has suggested he would like to on Saturday. So I don't think that should come as cause for concern or alarm, because 6 days ago, Ohio State beat Texas. But I think that if there's going to be 60, 70 or more Buckeyes playing in this game, and it's going to be week one for them because those veterans took basically every snap available against the Longhorns, we're probably going to see some things that don't look perfect and a lot of teachable, correctable tape for this next wave of Buckeyes. So, you know, I'm going in expecting that. And that's why I think the scoring might get capped around like 56-0 for Ohio State.
I was going to say 66-6. I think Grambling State will find a way to score in some way. Maybe they'll miss an extra point. Maybe it's two field goals. I don't know. 66-6. And I think the question is, Austin, will there be more Ohio State players that play or more Ohio State points that are scored?
Yeah, I think it'll be more players that play.
Okay. See, I think it might be a tie. I'm going to go, like I said, I'm thinking 66.
Can you go through 1 through 66, everyone you believe is going to play?
No, I won't do that, but I think it's a pretty good number. And I think that there's an opportunity here for guys that are not going to be talked about on this show. Players like Aaron Scott, players like Bryce West to make splash plays early. I wouldn't be surprised if those guys are in the second or third series of this game, to be honest, just to get them out there and get them started. But we'll see. I think the bigger question is like, which of the true freshmen of the class of 2025, guys that are not on the injured list for this week, who is going to actually not play, I think is a more instructive slash interesting discussion. Like who is definitely not going to play at all this season? Like, you're going to find that out Saturday.
Yeah. And by the way, last week, a couple of those freshmen were on the availability report for Ohio State, Max Roy and Turbo Rogers.
And Deshaun Stewart, right?
We've been asked about, you know, those players a number of times. And there are people that are excited to see him. We'd love to see him too, but I don't think that that's probably likely to happen on Saturday, although we'll find out around 1:30 when we get to the horseshoe and have the pregame keys going there. Here's what I'm going to do, Berm, because that may be the boldest prediction that I've ever heard, that the number of players is going to match the score total by Ohio State. I will make you a crown and hand deliver it and say you are permanently the king of bold predictions if that one comes true, because that is wild.
But I think, I mean, it's not outside of the realm of possibility, and I like it. And I would like the crown to include some jewels. I don't want it totally encrusted. I'm much more of like a simple man. You know, I want like a classic look on my crown, mostly just metal with some nice ornate touches. But I don't need a whole bunch of jewels in there, just to be clear. But if we are going crowned jewels, I'd prefer rubies because of the scarlet nature of the ruby.
Interesting. Well, you know who needs touches on Saturday against Grambling State? It is Bo Jackson. And I think he's probably going to get plenty. I do believe that there's a case to be made and that Carlos Lachlan will want CJ Donaldson and James Peoples to get some work and maybe find some rhythm and build some confidence. You know, I don't think that CJ Donaldson is lacking that. He's played in a ton of college football games, high level college football games, and had a lot of success. So I think that, you know, he's probably not down. In fact, I think he feels pretty good about punching in that touchdown and helping lead Ohio State to the win over Texas. But, you know, as we've mentioned, I think there were two or three, maybe four opportunities for James Peoples last week where he didn't quite maybe hit the hole the way we would have anticipated, the way we've seen him do it in practice situations. So I don't know that there's going to be as many opportunities for Bo Jackson to play as we would have expected before Texas. But I do think he's still going to finish with 12 carries, Bo Jackson, in this game. And I think he's going to score twice. So that's going to be just a little bit to consider moving forward. It's not going to be the be-all, end-all evaluation for him or a declaration that the backfield has to expand to include all three backs. But you have to start giving him some of that work and you have to start letting him establish a foundation and get some of these hits on his body and see what he can do. Because over the course of the year, you know, last year was a little bit of an aberration where Quinshon and Travion didn't really get banged up at a level where Ohio State had to dip into the depth in the backfield the way that it has like almost every other year that I've followed the Buckeyes. So you want to make sure that you have that third guy ready and able to get rolling. And Bo is clearly that person.
Yeah. And I think the only potential holdup to that sort of stat line, 12 to 15 carries, is exactly what you mentioned when you're talking about James Peoples. Like, how much work is he going to get? How much do they need to see out of him still? How much rust are they trying to knock off of James Peoples? Because I think that will determine not just what Bo gets, but I think also whether or not we see Isaiah West in this game, because I don't know that there's another game this season really where Isaiah West is going to have an opportunity to be on the field. So this is sort of an important one for all those guys to get some reps and just to knock some rust off, but specifically for two running backs that both missed a lot of their senior year of high school with injuries. So it'd be an interesting side note to see exactly how many carries James Peoples gets. I hinted at this on Three Thoughts Thursday about Quincy Porter. But as I've sat around and thought about the Saturday matchup, and then I couple that with the knowledge that we gained on Wednesday night that Desi Jones had lost his black stripe, it had me thinking that there's going to be a touchdown for both Desi Jones and Quincy Porter in this game. It's not going to be a two-banger for Quincy Porter. It's going to be a two-banger for the state of New Jersey, both freshmen from Jersey are going to score this weekend. Desi is an interesting player. He is not someone that it was discussed like at all in the recruiting process. Committed out of the blue on his first visit to Ohio State. Nobody'd ever heard of him. Brian Hart was like, hell yeah, I want this guy. He is a different type of player than Ohio State has at wide receiver. He's a jitterbug. He's a smaller guy. There's nobody else on the roster like him. And the fact that he lost his black stripe heading into this weekend, I think, is an indicator that Ohio State intends to get him on the field. I was this close to putting a touchdown for Desi Jones, Quincy Porter, and Phillip Bell this weekend.
Oh, my.
I think that there is an opportunity that all three of them may score. But I didn't have a picture with all three of them together. And I did have a picture.
That was the only thing that stopped you?
Basically, yeah, I wanted to make sure that the visuals matched the audio. So we have a photo of Desi Jones with Quincy Porter walking behind him, looming large over him. And I think those two are going to have some opportunities to do some damage. I know the interesting thing here is that there's going to be people who are saying, well, but what about Bryson Rogers and Mylon Graham? And
hey,
and,
that's me. I'm wondering that.
Yeah, like I those guys are going to play. But I think those guys are going to play like most of the first and second quarter and not the second half, which is where I think the three freshman receiver, maybe even Bodpen Miller gets some snaps. I he's on my list of guys I wouldn't expect to see play. But maybe he's done enough or physically he's just, intimidating enough to put out there. But I think that all three of the other freshman receivers, Phillip, boy, my brain just absolutely collapsed on me. Phillip Bell, Desi Jones, and Quincy Porter, I think, are all going to play the entire second half. And so, touchdown for the Jersey duo.
So, who's going to throw those touchdowns to the Jersey duo?
Lincolnius Keenholtzius, who I've now come around to the idea that Tavian St. Clair will not play the entire fourth quarter. I think Tavian will be in the final like two drives of the day for Ohio State. So that might be 6 minutes to go in the fourth. So give me a quarter and a half of Lincoln Keenholtz, and I think he'll get three passing touchdowns. So that's an additional bold peek. Because I think, again, as we talked about on Wednesday night at Snap Judgments, like if you're going to play Lincoln Keenholtz, if you're going to go out of your way and say, hey, we need to get this guy reps, then you better put him out there and let him run the whole offense.
Yeah, I think I still maintain that he needs that more than Tavian St. Clair at this very moment.
100%. But,
you know, that I'm not the quarterback's coach or the head coach or the offensive coordinator. My vote doesn't matter. If I was, though, Berm, do you know who I'd throw the football to and I'd be designing plays for?
Mylon Graham.
Yeah, that's right, Mylon Graham. And it's time. 5 for 5, baby. There's going to be 5 receptions. It's going to go for 105 yards and 2 touchdowns for Mylon Graham in this game. You can drill down on that one. He's got to be out there early. I think he will be. When we talk about maybe the running backs need to have the starters out there to get things rolling, I don't think that that's really the case for someone like Jeremiah Smith or Carnell Tate or Brandon Ennis. You probably want to get them involved with Julian Sain and work on a few different things with the passing attack. That could probably be done by the end of the first quarter. But even if it isn't, I think you're going to see Mylon Graham and Bryson Rogers involved very early on. Like, hey, it's not an apology, not a participation trophy, none of that stuff. It's just like, hey, you guys earned these reps. We had to get through Texas. Ohio State had to get the veterans. First timeness was what Ryan Day called it after practice on Wednesday. Like why they didn't put those people out there. They were dealing with that enough at other positions that they didn't feel the need to dip into that with. And yes, Bryson Rogers has been on the field, but Mylon Graham hadn't. And to just, I would have loved to have seen him out there against Texas, but I understand why he wasn't. And that's why I view this as week one for almost everybody else on the Ohio State roster. And no one has been waiting more eagerly to get out there and make an impact than Mylon Graham. Everyone on this Ohio State roster knows what he's capable of. Julian Sain definitely among them. So I think he'll get out there early. I think he's going to make plays. As you said, there's going to be an opportunity for that next wave when you get into the second half. Mylon Graham and Bryson Rogers are kind of sandwiched in between. Like they make it the second and third quarter, and they might get some time with Julian Sain and some with Lincoln Keenholtz. That would sort of be what I anticipate there. But both of them need game reps. Yep. And I they're you only have a limited opportunity to get them before you go to Washington at the end of the month. So I think that this
I would think that Carnell Tate and Jeremiah Smith are one or two series and done. And then you let Mylan and Bryson Rogers and Brandon Innes run out the first half at wide receiver. Bryson, you know, obviously has played some in games. Brandon has played some, but he still hasn't have a ton of reps under his belt. And as a captain, I think he probably looks back at last week and says, hey, there's things I can do better. I don't think he's in the same position as Carnell or Jeremiah as far as the, hey, we know exactly what you give us on the field. Let's not go crazy. But certainly there's a scenario where those three, Bryson, Mylan, and Brandon, are on the field for a lot of time together on Saturday. And we saw Mylan in the spring game be pretty much unguardable by Ohio State's defensive back. So I don't know the Grambling State would have much luck with him.
That seems unlikely to me. So there are no player props. There's no gambling lines of any kind on this game. But he would be my pick to score early and, as I said, multiple times for Ohio State.
Yeah, and if I was making a player prop, it'd be that Devin Sanchez gets a pick six. That is my first Devin Sanchez bold prediction. There is a belief in him, from him, that I think is really important. He played early. He played late against Texas. He was on the field in pivotal moments. If there was any doubt or concern that that freshman funk had hit sometime in training camp, it seems like that has been put to rest. He is going to play a lot. I would not be surprised, similarly to what I'm saying about Carnell and Jeremiah, if Davis and Igbinosin only plays a series or two, and then it's all Devin Sanchez and Jermaine Matthews and Aaron Scott at corner for the majority of the game. And I don't know that Grambling State's going to throw the ball a lot. I don't know anything about Grambling State. I'm going to be quite honest with you. I don't know if they have a quarterback. I don't know if they have receivers. I don't know what type of offense they run. I know that they are 1-0 because they played a team that was ranked like number 550 in the FPI index, or that's redundant, the FPI, whatever that stands for. That's some football P index. Either way, like, Devin's going to have his opportunities, and I want to drill down and say pick six in the second quarter for Devin Sanchez. And if that occurs, I think do you remember when Jermaine Matthews picked off a ball and had a pick six in his freshman year against
Rutgers? Too high.
And it was like, wow, that was a sign of things to come. I think that moment's coming for Devin. And I think it's going to be quarter number two, pick six. It's going to be a long one too, like 50 plus yards. Because if he catches the ball on the outside, nobody's going to catch him.
Yeah. He's in an interesting spot, isn't he, Berm? Devin Sanchez in this game, because he was out there for 11 snaps against Texas. So he has earned the trust and benefit of the doubt from Ohio State already to be out there. Now, that doesn't mean that you get to take the entirety of the day off like IGB and Jermaine might, because he needs reps and he needs a body of work, and he's still getting acclimated to the speed of the game and knowing the defense and all those things. But like, he's already getting high leverage snaps for Ohio State, and they may be more inclined to be like, you know what, we're kind of good here. Let's see what Aaron Scott and Bryce West can do and build for the future. Like, that's a fascinating dynamic with Devin Sanchez, because that happened way faster than I ever imagined that it could.
I am looking, just to be clear, at Grambling State's week one win over Langston.
Did they play a quarterback?
This is a fun game. I'm going to give you three guesses to guess the Langston nickname. What is the nickname of Langston College or Langston University or the University of Langston? Whatever it is, I don't know.
The Lobsters.
Nope, that's not a bad guess, though. You're on the right track with the alliterative assumption.
The Langston Ligers.
No, but that would be an awesome nickname.
How about the Lions?
It's the Lions. You got it on the third guess. Yeah. But here's what Grambling State did last week. I guess it's just Grambling also, not Grambling State. That must have changed. Quarterback 20 of 25 for 203 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. They won 55-7 over Langston. They actually had 5 tailbacks carry the ball for more than 5 times for more than 20 yards, 4 of them over 45 yards. So They were very diverse. They got a lot of work done. That's not going to matter. They're going to try to, if their coach, did you see their coach's press conference?
Oh, yeah. Very
much
so. He
was asked about how they're going to compete, and he said the band was going to compete. I thought that was pretty funny. But he also said, hey, they know what they're getting into, and they're coming here, and they're coming here to swing. So I know you're collecting a pretty hefty pay.
That'd be a little bit of a change from what he said on Monday, which was, we know what we're getting into.
Yeah.
And we're just going to try and play a clean game. That was a very different thing.
If you're playing this game, you may as well go out and do all of the things that you want to try to do, like you would try to do in a normal game. And I actually hate when, like, opponents who know that they're outmatched go into a game and just lay down and don't run their normal offense. That's why I was so fascinated by the response from the folks in Ann Arbor last Saturday night when New Mexico tried to score at the end of the game. Like, why would they not try to score at the end of the game? Like, these kids are playing a once-in-a-lifetime moment, and they could have scored to make it a 10-point game in Ann Arbor on their schedule. Like, were they supposed to just be like, no, this is enough. We respect you too much. We're not, like, screw you. You know what I mean? Like, what are we doing?
If you're are you hearing a lot of things out of Ann Arbor right now that makes sense, Berm? I mean,
no, but it was the response on the field in real time. I was like, man, I don't understand what you're complaining about. Like, just stop them if you don't want them to score. Like, it's okay. Which they did. But I think Grambling's, the Tigers are going to come in and try to throw some punches at Ohio State. So if you're going to do that, you got to throw the ball. And I guess we'll see if that leads to my pick six coming true.
Here's what I don't recommend: throwing a punch at Philip Daniels.
No, what a dude.
I am enjoying the Philip Daniels experience so far.
He's funny. He's funny.
He was funny. He's edgy, to use the Ryan Day terminology. We counted every open practice that we were at this year with him getting in a fight. And I was like, oh, it took me 2 seconds to realize, I wonder whose helmet that is on the ground on Saturday against Texas. Oh yeah, it's Philip Daniels. And no, he's not stopping. He is continuing to fight even with it off. He said on Wednesday night, he's like, I didn't even realize my helmet was gone. I was just playing through the echo of the whistle, like battling with Colin Simmons. And
I walked off the field with him as he was wrapping up his media availability on Wednesday night. And I said, you know, hey, Phil, like, I'm surprised you didn't draw a personal foul penalty. And he's like, I didn't even do anything. And I'm like, no. I'm surprised you didn't draw one from Colin Simmons because you were so annoying. And he's like, that's what I was trying to do. I'm like, okay, well, here we go.
I think everyone was piling on, not everyone. Some people were jumping off the Arch Manning bandwagon. And I know there's a chance that Colin Simmons could in Ohio and Texas could play Ohio State again. He had the least impactful, like, all American defensive end game that I can recall. And Philip Daniels got the best of him. We talked about the Will Kaczmarek block. Considering the check that he wrote in advance on his social media about sacking Ohio State's quarterbacks, that had to be one of the biggest face plants of week one.
Well, I am a huge fan of the Duncanville program where Colin Simmons is from, but they are not shy there to speak their minds. So I think it's fascinating. I mean, this is just an aside, but the difference in the edginess of this Ohio State offensive line compared to last year's is pretty tremendous. When you have this new and improved version of Austin Sarrafeld, who's got a little bit of cocky attitude to him out there, emoting, celebrating. You add Luke Montgomery. Now you have Philip Daniels. And you have the weirdly polite way that Carson Hinsman mocks you. It's really fun. Like, I think this offensive line group has a really, it reminds me a little bit of like the 2014 offensive line group, just a lot of crap talkers and guys that are a little bit spunky.
It's got a little bit of that slobbishness going on it. I kind of like it. We got really sidetracked from bold predictions, but I'm glad we did.
It's Grambling week, baby.
It was a lot to get into that we still hadn't touched on that we observed from Ohio State and Texas last week, but we are one day away from Ohio State Grambling, so we can get back to that. And as we mentioned, Ryan Day said it was that first-timeness. They didn't want to lean into that too much. I couldn't decide. I was sort of like in between two trains of thought, Berm. Yeah, it was in between two ferns and two trains of thought, and then they all collided and the ferns went everywhere. I figured that you were going to take a Riley Pettijohn bold prediction, which I guess you
I already gave one. I already told you on Thursday morning's episode of The Beat, I think he's going to play like starting second series and not come off the field until the fourth quarter.
So I said to just combine it. If you're watching on the 97.1 The Fan YouTube or 10 TV Plus, you can see that I've got both Riley Pettijohn and Zion Grady available to me. And now I'll just combine them because Berm didn't take a specific bold prediction for either one in this game. I'm going to say we are at the freshman sack portion of the show, and I think they will combine for three. You've convinced me, you've won me over that Riley Pettijohn is basically going to play this entire game or maybe get the fourth quarter off because he is the fourth game-ready linebacker for the Silver Bullets. I can't be as certain about how many snaps are going to be available to Zion Grady. I don't know. I'll just lay that out there up front. But I think that he needs them. And maybe not as much as the defensive tackles, and you've got Jarquez Carter. Spoiler alert, that will be the last bold prediction. Like, we've spent all this time about the defensive tackles. I know that. And maybe it's not an absolute necessity that Zion Grady or Epi Satanale get out there to bolster the depth, because you've seen Kenyatta Jackson, Caden Curry, CJ Hicks, Bo Atkinson all being involved out there. And four is probably going to be enough to get through the course of the year. But Kenyatta Jackson, A, doesn't need to play. B, probably would not be like 100% ready to play on Saturday. So there could be extra opportunities to play based on the availability report. And I'd love to see it. It may involve both of them, sort of the Arvell Reese role for Riley Pettijohn and lining up there and just going true pass rush situations for Zion Grady. So I think combined, and this will, if it's all three by Riley Pettijohn, this will still count for me. But I'm going to say combined. Combined three sacks from those guys.
I can dig it. I think that the young underclassmen are going to get opportunities. I think that this is one of those situations where we're trying to balance inexperience versus youth, because I think CJ Hicks needs to play a lot on Saturday. I think he needs to get reps in all situations. I think that Logan George, who did not play a snap against Texas, is on this roster for a reason, to provide some depth. Bo Atkinson played almost 40 snaps, but I think that there are a lot of people walking out of that game wondering, you know, athletically, where does he line up compared to these other guys? What role is he going to play? I don't know. My prediction would be that when Riley Pettijohn is in the game early, it's in place of Sonny Styles, not Arvell Reese. But I do think that it's interesting because you could have had Epi Satanale in this conversation and in this photo as well, because I think that he and Zion Grady are both going to play pretty much the entire second half. So I think that there's an opportunity there for sure. Hell, I mean, if we weren't talking about true freshmen here, we could talk about Josh Mickens and other guys that are going to have opportunities. I think it's hilarious, actually.
Dom Kirks as well.
Dom Kirks is another one. I think it's actually kind of hilarious that in week one of the Matt Patricia era, we saw more of Ohio State using the jack position than we did in 3 years of Jim Knowles. And so I do think that that's a spot where Riley Pettijohn fits naturally down the road. I think TJ Alford fits that spot naturally as well. So it'll be interesting to see which way they go with that this week. If you really want to see Riley in a read and react middle linebacker type role to test him out a little bit, or if you just want to put him out there, let him do athletic things. Guys that don't need to play as we go down that list or play a lot, I think Caden McDonald and Edric Houston are in that conversation. And Jarquez Carter played 5 snaps against Texas. I think he's going to play an awful lot of them this week. And I have him with 2 sacks against Grambling. So by that count, we've got 5 freshman sacks for Ohio State on Saturday. I don't think there's a scenario where we're both correct. So I'm hoping that I win this battle. But the interesting thing with Jarquez is that I Max Roy, as we mentioned at the jump, he was out last week, still in a scooter on practice or after practice on Wednesday. So don't expect him to play. We'll see if Trajan Odom gets some reps in this opportunity. But other than that, I think that there's a lot of moments here for Will Smith and Tywan Malone and Jarquez Carter and maybe Logan George inside. So I think that's how you could get some of this situation of maybe being going from muddled and too many people to the right fit. Because if you put Logan on the inside where they had Caden Curry playing last week, you could still use a lot of these guys on the outside.
Well, it's almost time to find out, because when you know it's Freaky Friday and the bold predictions are done, then it is almost one more wake up. And then Ohio State in Grambling in the Horseshoe Saturday at 3:30.
What football game are you, you know, unfortunately
this
for us.
This is the worst slate of college football that you could have. So
yeah, unfortunately for us, like 3:30 is the absolute worst time of the day for us to watch other games. We can't watch the noon games, can't watch the 3:30 games, can't watch the 7 o'clock games. So
if this is the perfect week for Ohio State to play at 3:30, because the rest of the games are terrible.
What is your prediction? You're an Oklahoma native, so let's just dive into that. I know we always tell people that you're from Wyoming, but you're an Oklahoma native. What is your prediction for Oklahoma and Michigan?
Disaster. I don't believe in Brent Venables primarily. But I don't know that Michigan proved an awful lot about itself in week one. I know that they're like Michael Bennett, after he ignored us walking out of the tunnel with the horseshoe on Saturday, did, you know, circle back, and he and Brandon Beam were talking about how fast and physical and talented and athletic Michigan looked. And I'm not sure that I left with necessarily that same impression. I think we're going to have to find out on Saturday against, this is weird for me to say, SEC athletes on the Oklahoma roster. But I think both of these programs both have a lot of questions that it may well be just who can overcome and avoid mistakes the best. Yeah. Because they both seem very disjointed to me. I think Oklahoma will win. But I am not really strongly convinced of the might and power of either program at this point. And on this slate of games, like that's the highlight, other than Iowa State.
I think that's the only game with ranked teams, right? With both teams ranked. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So let's go one more college football bold prediction here. Which top 25 team loses this weekend?
Michigan.
Okay, besides Michigan.
I think Iowa's going to beat Iowa State.
I think, and this is going to be crazy, considering how much trash we've talked about this program over the last couple months, like indirectly, I think Arizona State is going to lose at Mississippi State.
I can see that. You don't have to twist my arm on that one.
That's my bold P. Arizona State is a 6.5-point favorite on the road at Mississippi State at night. You don't just stroll into Starkville at night and beat that team.
You kind of do.
Unless you're the Toledo Rockets.
Yeah, you kind of do. So enjoy all of those games this weekend. I know it's not the most loaded slate, but there's going
to
be
my advice is to just basically get to the Ohio State game, watch that, and then get to bed early for the Bengals and Browns on Sunday at 1 o'clock. That's my advice.
You have to go to bed early to be ready for a 1 o'clock NFL kickoff.
Well, people, you know, you have to get up to go to church on Sunday. You might want to mow the lawn before the NFL games begin. Maybe you've got family you want to see once before football season really gets going. You know, there's a lot of things you could do.
Sure.
Go see a film, go see a nice film at the movie theater.
A Sunday morning film before NFL Sunday. I don't think if someone out there is going to a movie on Sunday morning before the Bengals and Browns, let us know. You can email the show at the Austin and Berm Show at gmail.com. I think we'll have time for a mailbag next week. So if you've got some questions coming out of Grambling, which I think might be related to a bunch of new faces that we get to see, feel free to send them. Or if you just have any other general queries or ideas of things that you want us to talk about on the beat, send them our way. We're happy to get them. That's the Austin and Berm Show at gmail.com. We will be in the Horseshoe around noon on Saturday. We'll be knocking out the pregame keys. We'll see the availability report. We'll talk about that and our final thoughts getting ready for Ohio State and Grambling. Afterwards, snap judgments. and The Notebook, as always, right here on 97.1 The Fan's YouTube channel, 10TV Plus, and anywhere you get your podcasts. Have a great Friday and an awesome weekend. For Berm, I'm Austin. We'll talk to you next time.